Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. Once again, let me remind you that this is the dialogue meeting which took place in North Carolina University between the Muslim jihadi Imam Omar Sleiman, who is speaking in that meeting on the behalf of the MSA, that is the Muslim Student Association, one of the members of the Muslim Brotherhood of America, and Pastor J.D. Greer, who is speaking on the behalf of CRU, which used to be Campus Crusades for Christ. As we discovered in our last broadcast, it is actually an interfaith meeting with a new nickname given by the deception of Imam Omar Sleiman. He himself believed it to be an interfaith meeting, but sadly, because we title it with the new name, which is Dialogue, now the Southern Baptist denomination and the rest of the Christians will have no objection. Why? Because people get nervous when they hear the words of interfaith meetings. Today, we'll move on in our study with a new question from the moderator, Pastor Kevin Singer, who asked...
I want to talk about hope. there's been some hope. Let's get even more hopeful. When you hear the word hope, what comes to mind for you? That's the big question. Within that, within your worldview, is hope just a future thing, or is there some sense in which hope can also be expressed in our current reality? So when you hear the word hope, what comes to mind? Is it future, or is there a current reality?
Wow, what a great question. Are you kidding me, Pastor Kevin? Is this the best question you can offer to these two great speakers? We're going to talk about hope. Is hope the reality of the future or current reality? This reminds me of the liberals who used to ask Mr. Barack Hussein Obama in his 8 years in office similar questions. Mr. Obama, what type of toothpaste do you like to use when you brush your teeth? Do you like to eat cereal in the morning, before or after you have your coffee? How about what kind of music do you like to listen to before you go to bed? Ridiculous questions! And if there was any sincere question that was asked, it was simply because Obama wrote it down for them to ask him in these interviews. This is exactly how I feel about this dialogue. Ridiculous questions for little children to answer, not for two grown-up theologians. My friends, we already passed halfway in our study, and so far, I did not hear one important question. But let's go ahead and examine the answer of Pastor J.D. Greer, who stated...
Who's first this time? You've always told us who goes first. I'm first? Yeah, so, I would define hope as the expectation of future healing, future good. You know, that you're headed somewhere that's very positive. In answer to the question of is it future or is it now, I would think the Christian response is definitely both.
Yes, indeed. What a great question and what an awesome answer. Hope is expectation of future healing, future good. That is when people head to somewhere that is very positive. And the answer for him as a Christian, it is both now and future. Healing from what? We're talking to a Muslim imam who's speaking here on the behalf of a Muslim jihadi organization who literally killed 3,000 Americans just 20 years ago. And you are talking about hope and healing? How do we know that there will ever be healing when we do not know about the sickness or the disease? So far in this dialogue, we did not talk about Islam. We did not talk about the teaching of Allah in the Quran or the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. So we're going to talk about hope and healing without knowing the sickness or the disease of Islam. This is a very important question if we can put it in the right context. We have a problem with Islam and the Muslims who live not only in America, but around the globe. And there is hope that they can come to know Christ as Lord and Savior after they know that they are lost in the savage cult, the cult of Islam. But that is not what ever took place in this dialogue so far. We are in the 40th minute of the meeting, and so far we did not talk about anything wrong with Islam. But the opposite is true, as I have emphasized so many times so far in these radio broadcasts, that the silence of Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer about all the lies which Imam Omar Sleeman shared so far is given the approval that there is nothing wrong with Islam. And if there is nothing wrong with Islam, that means we have no sickness. And that means we have no disease, which brings us to the conclusion, I don't need the hope you're going to share with me about your Christianity. As you're going to see it, taught by Pastor J.D. Greer, who stated,
Now, in the sense that, and I said this at the beginning, that we believe that the resurrection of Jesus injected into humanity a new vision of humanity that has led to, I mean, just incalculable good in various places.
So how did Pastor J.D. Greer talk about the hope in now, meaning the present time? He's talking about what he just said earlier. He is just simply repeating himself. As he said, as I said this at the beginning, the hope of the resurrection of Jesus. Well, I'm sorry once again. For me as a Muslim sitting in that meeting, you're simply throwing some pearls under my feet, which means nothing. Once again, unless the Muslim knows that he is lost, unless the Muslim knows that he is hungry and thirsty for the truth of the gospel and the hope which they can find in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, these sermons of Pastor J.D. Greer means nothing. And so far, in his silence in these last 40 minutes, about all the lies which were taught by Imam Omar Sleeman is giving an assurance for the Muslims and hope for the Muslims that they are on the right track of Islam and they do not have to leave Islam and become infidels, as every Muslim in that meeting knows for sure, without any doubt, that the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, as Christians believe, is simply a lie. That's why, once again, Allah sent the final message, the truth of the word of Allah in the Quran, where Muhammad denied 100% that Jesus died or rose again, as it is written in Quran 4:157, and they did not kill him, and they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear. Who do you think Muslim will believe? The word of Pastor J.D. Greer or the word of Allah, the God of Islam? The thought of the Christian infidels of the West or the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith? Once again, Muslims will never believe any truth we will share with them about our Christian belief until they know what they believe in Islam is falsehood and lies. And that is what Pastor J.D. Greer failed miserably to share with these Muslims who attended that dialogue. Well, let's get a little bit more of the teaching of Pastor J.D. Greer.
I mean, even the freedoms that we love about our country, and I'm not saying we've always gotten them right. I'm not saying we've ever gotten them, you know, totally right. But just the very concept of those freedoms came from people with a Christian, with a biblical worldview, getting engaged in the public square and arguing for the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech.
Here we go, America. I believe I'm listening to some liberal men like those who are making all the excuses to find something wrong about America. Even when Pastor J.D. Greer is speaking about the freedom which we enjoy in America. And by the way, it is the only place on planet Earth where we can find a country where Christians can enjoy freedom. He's telling us, I mean, even the freedom that we love about our country, he is not saying we have always got them right. What is wrong about the freedom we have in America? Once again, if this is a debate I would have with Pastor J.D. Greer, I'll ask him to elaborate a little bit more and tell me, what does he mean by that? What do you not like, sir, about the freedom we have in America? But listen carefully to his words, because he's about to contradict what he said earlier in our study. He said, I am not saying we have got them totally right. So we got some freedom wrong in America. Okay. This very concept that those freedoms came from people with a Christian and biblical worldview getting engaged in the public square. But wait a minute, Pastor J.D. Greer. I thought you told me that Christians should not ever get involved in the public square. And this was my argument, which I had against him in the beginning of our study. As I said, I repeat again, if the Christians of America will not get involved in the public square, we're going to lose our freedom as a Christian country. Because that freedom was started by Christians applying biblical worldview to the Constitution, to the way how America will be established for years to come. And this was what happened in this country over 240 years ago.
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true? To answer this important challenge, Usama Dakdok has just released the first of a special two-book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran. Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. From the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
Because the early Christian and Jewish fathers got engaged in the public square, we got the freedom which we have in America, and it is the best freedom we can ever have. And shame on anyone who claims to be a Christian to tell me that something is wrong with the freedom which we have in this country. And I believe the American people will regret everything they're doing wrong, if it was in words or in actions. Not now, but in the near future, when we truly lose the freedom we have. Somebody like me, coming out of Egypt, a Muslim country that does not know what it is to be free, I appreciate and I enjoy every day, even to have this broadcast coming out on air, and I know I'm not going to be killed for it yet. And I have the right to do that in America. But for most Americans who are taking this freedom for granted, they will regret taking it for granted when they lose it. And that is the future of America as I see it to come. We will not have the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. Yes, indeed, in arguing for the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech, and listen carefully to what else Pastor J.D. Greer will tell us.
I mean, if you go back and read those things, they're all coming out of, most of the, educational and hospital work in various places. It was pioneered by people that were applying a biblical worldview. I mean, Reverend Martin Luther King was called a reverend for a reason, because he was applying those things to the civil rights, the women's suffrage movement. That came out of Christians that were getting involved. I read this thing the other day that said up until about 30 years ago, every hospital that was started in sub-Saharan Africa was started by a Christian on mission. And so that is a hope that is put out there now to say, what does the gospel look like as you're playing it out?
Once again, as we have heard Pastor J.D. Greer earlier, when he was rambling on, going on and on and on, jumping from one subject to another, and I have no clue where he's going with his speech, I have to stop him here to put a couple of sentences in the middle of his talk. First of all, we do not call Reverend Martin Luther King Reverend, because Reverend is a title that should only be given to God or our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I do not believe any human should have that title. Not Martin Luther King, not Billy Graham. These are pastors. These are shepherds. These are servants. These are deacons or elders to serve the church, as we have learned this from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ himself, who literally washed his disciples' feet, and he was the teacher. He was the rabbi. He was God Almighty who came in the flesh. So if the world will call somebody reverend, I don't call anybody reverend. And boy, I'm glad that Pastor J.D. Greer is giving some acknowledgement for the Christian men and women who fought for the liberty and the freedom we have in America. Because, once again, that goes against what he said earlier in his speech. He does not want the Christian in this world to be involved anywhere in the political arena, because he believes that the kingdom of God is from above, not in this world. But once again, every good thing exists in this country, America. If it is freedom of religion or speech, civil rights movement, women's right to be equal to men, all this comes directly from the teachings of the Bible, which, by the way, it is the opposite of what is taught in the Quran and in the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. Once again, there is no freedom of religion in Islam. There is no freedom of speech in Islam. Women are not equal to men in Islam. And yes, Christians did a great job overseas in Africa. They built the hospitals. And most of it actually was built by the Catholic Church. And can you tell me, Pastor J.D. Greer, how many Muslims in the Muslim world became a Christian because we built these hospitals the last 100 years? The answer is none. Yes, indeed, you heard me right. Muslims did not come to Christ as Lord and Savior because we do charity work, because we build hospitals, because we give food and drinks and medicine and blankets at the time of crisis. This is not how it should be done biblically. Jesus did not say, go and do good work in some church names or in some organization names. He said, a glass of cold water in my name. Why have we not led any Muslims to Christ, even though we're spending millions of dollars to help the needy among the Muslims? It's simply because many of the doctors who work in these hospitals do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And even the ones who know Christ as Lord and Savior do not know how to share the gospel with the Muslims. So we're literally wasting money and energy, because Muslims will not come to know Christ because somebody had a free surgery, or because someone got some blanket or some food, or whatever physical help we gave to the people. The Muslim people will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior when they hear the truth of the gospel. And they will not hear the truth of the gospel and it will make sense to them unless first they know that they are lost Muslims. And they will never know that they're lost Muslims until somebody tells them the truth about Allah to be the God of this world, the devil, Satan himself, and Muhammad to be a sinful, wicked, evil man who came to bring injustice, to end freedom and liberty, to bring persecution to the true followers of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, sitting in such meetings like this one here, even we call it the Truth Forum, and the truth has never been told about how ugly Islam is, that will not lead one Muslim to Christ. That's why, as we see, even in that meeting, the Christians left the meeting with a positive attitude towards Muslims and Islam. And the Muslims left the meeting knowing for sure that they are on the right track, because when Imam Omar said whatever he said about Islam, there was not one objection was ever given from Pastor Kevin Singer and Pastor J.D. Greer. And even the following topic, it's a bigger problem. It's a huge dilemma for Imam Omar to even get involved in. And that is the topic of slavery. So please listen carefully to what Pastor J.D. Greer shared.
Even, our country has a particular, grievous sin going back with slavery. One of the best works on slavery that I've ever read is a three-volume work by an African-American named Thomas Sowell. And in there, one of the things he points out is he shows that slavery has been endemic to literally every culture on earth. Slavery has been a part of all of them. He said that the only civilization, the only group that actually had a transformation against slavery from within, that wrote its own guilt literature, that the change came from within, he said, were those that were coming in, in the Western society, and it was coming out of this biblical worldview. That's a hope that's right now.
Yes, my friends, some Americans had fallen in the sin of slavery in the past. And I'm glad that Pastor J.D. Greer is calling it for what it is. It is a sin. But I do not appreciate him to generalize the sin of slavery with America as a whole country, because obviously not everybody who lived in America in the past owned slaves. And I'm glad that he acknowledged that in the Western society, we know that with the biblical worldview, hope came to shine its light on that sin, the sin of slavery. As many Christians fought and shed their blood and died to set the black slave free here in America. Add to that, when he stated that slavery has been endemic to literally every culture on earth. And I will add to that, it is not just a culture problem. It is also a religion problem as you investigate Islam to see how Allah and how Muhammad and how Muslim great thinkers thought of slavery and slaves. If we just open the pages of the Quran, we'll read the words, "and whatever your right hand possesses," all over the verses of the Quran, as we see Allah gives a Muslim man the right to take the concubines and the slaves from every nation in the world. And this is the word of Allah, which is the right for the Muslim to practice even until today. That's why we still have people sold into slavery in this present time. Add to that, here is what the great preeminent Islamic medieval historian and social thinker Ibn Khaldun wrote about slavery. He said, "The Negro nations are submissive to slavery because they are quite similar to dumb animals." Can you imagine with me these truths about slaves and Islam? And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.